Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see everyone. When I first heard this passage, it immediately reminded me of this kind of prank dad's gift that we got many years ago. So it's this bear here. And to put context, I'm one of three girls, so my dad sometimes feels a little bit left out of the family sometimes, and so he needs a little boost of confidence or whatnot. So you pull it. And says, there's nothing you can do. You are the greatest. You're on your way to the top, which I always thought was kind of funny. So my parents, before they became farmers and pushing zucchini and watermelon on everybody else, they were teachers, and both in high school and college, and there were always teaching going on in the house. And my dad had a thing about not answering our questions for whatever reason. Whenever we asked him about a bird that we saw, his response was, look it up in the encyclopedia. When I asked about examples of humility, look it up in the encyclopedia. Like at one point, when you just had that question, like you were going to ask something, he would just point in the direction of the encyclopedia. Yes, I know I'm aging myself, and my dad did write for the Encyclopedia Britannica, so there was some pride bias there. But recognizing that the last run of the Encyclopedia Britannica was in 2010, some of you might not have known what an encyclopedia is. So if you don't know, there are these giant big books of information that was categorized alphabetically or chronologically. You would have kind of topics and guide words at the top, and you would have to like flip through the answers. This was pre-Google time, when there was concrete facts. You couldn't actually, however, really ask different difficult questions in encyclopedias that required thought, such as, what does it mean to be great? Nowadays, of course, with Wikipedia, ChatGPT, AI, you can ask more abstract questions like that. And how do you be a servant of all? You will instantly get a ton of different reasons and ways that you can be a servant of all, or what AI thinks is a appropriate thing of how to be a servant of all. If there's anything that I learned from growing up, it's to ask questions. And while there's no dumb questions, focus on the right ones. So Jesus is on a road trip. He's driving a 12-passenger van, just delivered some difficult news, and the kids in the back are arguing about who knows what and asking nonsense questions. Does this sound familiar to anybody? They're traveling all the way from the area of Galilee to their home office in Capernaum, estimated about 30 miles away. So it's quite a long time that they're kind of having this argument of who's the greatest. He waits until he's in private to sit down and give a lesson. And anytime Jesus sits, it's like, pay attention, class is in session. He makes a statement of, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last and servant of all. He then gives an example that by welcoming a child, the least of these, will also be welcoming Jesus and the one who sent him. Jesus turning his focus from public ministry and teaching, he's trying to get away from the crowds, not so much because he wants to get away from everyone, which he is, but he wants to make sure and focus time on the disciples and making sure that the disciples are equipped about his mission and preparing them for what is to come. Jesus starts off by predicting the passion a second time. So there's a pattern here. People say that, you know, in order to learn, you need to learn three times in three different ways. And so in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus predicts his death in chapters 8, 9, and 10. And in each of the times, he essentially speaks about the Son of Man himself will be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and he will rise again 3 days later. And this occurs in Luke and Matthew as well. And it's important to note that each prediction, and after each prediction, the disciples, they just don't get it. So the pattern is Jesus predicts his death, The disciples somehow bungle their response in one way or another, and the lesson follows. Last week, we heard something similar. We heard Peter rebuking Jesus and the lesson of denying oneself. And this passage, when Jesus predicts his death, the disciples just don't understand what that he was saying, and they were afraid to ask. Instead, they start arguing about who is the greatest, and a lesson of humility and service is given. And it's interesting to note just how much patience and restraint Jesus has at times. I must admit that when reading today's lesson, it sort of makes my head spin. There are like so many things that you can talk about. It's, you know, where do you begin? One could talk about Jesus redefining greatness, and that true greatness is about humility and being the servant to all. Or discussing and about lifting up children in the world and the importance of supporting youth. Or servant leadership, or et cetera, et cetera. For today's purpose, I'll talk about internal questions, external questions, and what are the hard questions that we could be asking each other today? Again, the disciples are arguing over who is the greatest. And the fact that they remain silent makes me feel like maybe they felt a little bit guilty. Who knows what they were arguing about? Perhaps it was about the status of what was to come, or who was going to take over once Jesus dies, or perhaps they just didn't understand at all. Sometimes in life, I find myself asking the wrong questions. Questions that focus on my own glory instead of the glory of God. Questions that are all about me. Me, 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 me. Like yesterday, I caught myself stressing about writing this sermon. I was thinking, how can I give the greatest sermon ever that can inspire millions, that will be watched on repeat forever? And then I was thinking, okay, this is a little bit hypocritical. So I need to stop the cycle of thinking of everything has to be the greatest and calm down, be humble, and think if just one person here today resonated with something that I said, then, you know, I did an okay job. We don't need to argue about who is great or whether we are great, because we are all great. You're made in the image of God. And let's not forget that questions that compare each other and focus on oneself is sometimes short-lived. And in other times, I find myself like the disciples. Again, when Jesus is sharing about suffering, death, and resurrection, the disciples just don't know what to say. And they're afraid to ask. And they start talking about something else. It's a little bit awkward, right? It was a missed opportunity that the disciples didn't ask what Jesus meant or what he said, how it impacted their lives. It's the old elephant in the room adage. Like in today's world, with all the political drama and the international conflicts going on, it's difficult sometimes to find the right words to say. You don't really want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to offend anybody. You're just trying to figure out that balance. One of my closest friends was born in the Middle East. And sometimes I find our friend group is talking about a lot of different things, you know, of what is the best food, where's the coolest place to go to dinner, about the new shoes and whatever. And I find sometimes we're really not focusing on the obvious questions, like, how is she doing? And how is she feeling about everything? And how can we support her and her family? And the bigger question of how can we help the situation that's going on? It's okay to ask these hard questions. Furthermore, asking yourself hard questions can help clear your mind so you can help other people. Sometimes you can focus on the small stuff and forget all about the big stuff. When we answer those hard questions, we'll be able to serve others. And those hard questions can be anything, such as, is now the time to downsize and sell my home? Or is it time to change jobs? Or am I happy in this marriage? Or why am I struggling in school? When you answer those deep, difficult questions, you're more present for other people, and you're not so consumed by oneself. And by asking those hard questions, you get closer to God and the mission that God sent us to do. Ask, and the door shall be opened to you. Recently, I read an article titled, Why I Changed My Mind About Volunteering, by Rachel Cohen. She's a journalist covering social policy. The article talks about many things, including how to create social change through volunteering, through donating, modifying one's own behavior, and the impact of social change through protesting, through voting, through encouraging social leaders, and putting pressure on government and corporate, big corporations. What I thought was interesting and what stuck out in my mind was that she finishes this article quoting Paul Skivrish, a retired sociologist who directs the Center of Wealth and Philanthropy at Boston College. He says, meeting the true needs of others is how you nourish somebody. But what that nourishment is and what those true needs are, we're always going to find people debating about that. And you're going to have debates within yourself. But that is always the right question. This example is sort of a tangent, but I thought it was interesting about asking those hard questions about what people need and what they need at the right time, for that matter, and the discussions and debates that perhaps we should be thinking about. So let's challenge each other to not be anxious about earthly things and to focus on the greater good things. When talking about a big house and who has a bigger house, what about asking how you can help those that don't have a home? When talking about where you traveled, what about asking about your carbon footprint? When talking about what college you got into, what about asking about those who can't afford college or can't afford to go to school? Now, my mom, being, as I said, one of four sisters, we would get the same question every day when we got home from school. And the first question that we got was, what did you do for mankind today? Or in today's world, it would be, what did you do for humankind today? I still hear her asking my nieces and nephew the same questions that she used to say to us when we got home. And I always thought this was funny because, you know, you watch TV sitcoms and movies and the first question is usually like, how was your day, honey? How are you? And so forth. And we got, what did you do for humankind today? I always thought, couldn't I just have normal parents? And I would invite friends over and I would actually feel like I had to prep them. Like, okay, you know, my mom has this thing about asking us about what you did to serve others. And so we'd be, you know, on the bus trying to think of like things that we did that day, you know, like offering your seat to somebody on the bus or opening the door, you know, always trying to figure out how we served one another. So Reverend Martha said that each sermon should have a hope and a challenge. So my hope and prayer is that you already know that you are great. You are loved beyond measure. And if you forget, consider building a bear. Continue to tackle the hard questions. And remember that you can always ask Jesus and God any question without judgment. And as we heard in James, Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And my challenge question is, how can you be a servant to all? And what will you do for humankind today? Amen.